Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 1039 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone back to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. Welcoming everyone back because we have a continuing series with Philip Lawrence Sherrod. He is an artist, a painter, a poet, educator, composer. He's an athlete, and he was an athlete, and you know now his bulk of his time is painting and creating, and he is the subject of a new documentary, and you'll be able to see that in the near future, and we're going to let you know where as we get a little closer. Frank McKay here. Welcome, Philip. How are you?
Just fine, Frank. Just fine.
When we last left off, we were talking about, you know, people, you know, you mentioned the Blue Meanies. It's almost like the Beatle phrase from the Yellow Submarine, right? But we're talking about people destroying art. There are those who create, and there are those who destroy. One of the things I told my children, I have four children, and one time one was offered to be a critic for a Midwestern newspaper, and I said, look, the easiest thing in the world to do is to be a critic. Do if you want to do that, do it. But first of all, print media is going out of business pretty soon. But be somebody who creates something, not somebody who critiques what others are making. And I felt very strongly about that. And I didn't want my children to be critics. I don't want them to sit back and just criticize what other people do. I want them to create. I want them to do things. Your thought on that? I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world to criticize what others are doing.
Well, now, I might bring up the issue that I have a 42-year-old son, my belief about continuum of effort, or should I say ambition, is that I don't think you can make anyone be what one wants them to be. And I have to say that because I find out that maybe the family structure is an arrangement to give everyone a different position of life itself, whether it be critic or whether it be poet or painter, and you didn't mention that I'm a master teacher, but I am, and I am because my belief is for the individual within a family all having different rights or gifts to espouse or to exercise or to do. So I don't want to down you and your dream, but I find it to be unrealistically and illogical. Because even in nature, like in a bird's nest, the biggest bird that usually hatches first from the egg tries to get all the food when the adult returns, whether it be a worm or flesh, a rabbit for an eagle or an eaglet. I think that in the fight for life, that's why my attitude politically is to not be political, but if evidently people that need a hero or they need some sort of ideal displacement that we did. It's like the university I went to, of Oklahoma State University, wants to take credit with their courses for me being an artist. Well, that's ridiculous. I was an artist before I ever even went to higher learning to find out that it was merely an exorcism by the rights of 1, 2, 3, 4 to 10, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and that they were so short-sighted to believe that they were God itself and had created people and made them who, and you're supposed to say today, thank you, Oh, gracious, education, thank you. Well, I went from education to the curb of the street to find the people because I saw a Dominican maybe nodding to a Jamaican. When I passed by, I faced the knives in the street. I once knocked a man out when I was drunk on vodka because he put a knife to my throat. From the backside, I spun him around and hit him, and his head hit the brick wall, and he was out like a light. But I'm saying that I want everyone to develop a moralistic attitude to each other. Now, I want to get back to something about art versus life.
Please do, but let me just interrupt to remind folks, once again, Philip Lawrence Sherrod is who you're hearing. Frank McKay here with the soon-to-be subject of a new documentary. We'll let you know as we go on. Philip, continue.
I will go back to what I was trying to get across, and it's this idea, is that I once wondered as a young man, at about 16, 17, I once wondered, is art really a truism of the need of the living? And how is it communicated? How can you put a couple of smears of color on a canvas or acrylic on a TV surface? How can you put a couple of smears and communicate anything because the people don't even know what or the line of educated 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They don't even know what color is versus values, which are black to white, in gradation from black to white, and you end up with lots of neutral grays and so forth. So, in a way, I had to prove it to myself that art was of value to anyone. So I questioned the reason why certain men in time had risen to the position of being, let's say, an artist, a poet, a painter, whatever the artistic endeavor. Then I found out after working for 62 years that I that at 17 that some people seemed to like my work, and I thought, well, it's because either they're Spanish, they're hot-headed, they're hot-hearted, they love anything, through time, I've been amazed that evidently there is communication to others. See, I think the world is in despair and has turned to the machines because they can't trust each other to tell them truths or a truth or many truths or the truth.
That's interesting.
I think the world has become a coward, and I challenge the people in the world to step up, take control of themselves, do what they want outside of harming anyone, killings out, murder, all that stuff is out, rape is out, and treat each other the way they would like to be treated. Unto others, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I think the world would be fine then. Everybody will be happy. And they'll either do the art or have the art or buy the art or whatever.
Hmm. Right, yeah, very interesting. Frank McKay here, once again, Philip Lawrence Sherrod, in a series of these interviews. We're finding out more and more about the man, the artist, the composer, the master teacher, educator, painter, poet, and just about anything you could imagine this man has done. He talks about New York as his home, his former home. His original home was Oklahoma, and I remember from earlier conversations with Philip that he was given a book by his mother that that had stories in it from the past, historic Bible stories, and there was a masterpiece, art piece on each opposite page, if I remember this correctly. And as a child, he used to draw.
Frank, yeah. I had a grandmother,
yeah,
that had three daughters and one son. She came from Dallas, Texas. I was born in Paul's Alley, Oklahoma. But she was kin via marriage from George Washington, which had also a certain degree of ambition and set this country on the supposed course it's on now, even with change. But this idea is that none of the girls could keep up with my grandmother's drive, and she sewed about 200 crazy quilts, they were called at that time, which were really decorative blankets, and she gave them out to her daughters. And they loved them because it reminded them of their mother. I lost a blanket down in Brooklyn once because I left it in a washateria, and it wasn't quite dry, so I put in a couple of quarters to spin it a little hotter longer. Now, the next thing is that I come back in about 25 minutes to 30 minutes, and the blanket is gone, wet or not, because it was so beautiful, somebody took it. So what I'm saying here is that there's a tradition in blood of myself, and my grandmother married the descendant from the Provence of Lorraine, which was the French evolution of the Duke that we come from on my mother's side. Yeah. So this idea is that I used to sit across, lived in an old country mansion with 2, 4, 6, 8 columns in Balls Alley, Oklahoma, on Cherry Street. And I used to, when I had to go to poopy or pee-pee, I would sit on the toilet and look across at what? I would look across at right above the bathtub was Rembrandt's golden helmet, which represented, in a way, the Dutch ascending the order to success. And then there were pieces by the English, Romani and Hogarth, and all sort of things that got into me. And she had an old, beautiful record player that would play 33, 45, and later. Yeah, and I would go play the records. And the only thing that could be criticized today, which they're doing, which I'm against, is that all times have the right, meaning centuries, meaning all centuries have the right to keep those that kept them alive and thinking, enjoying, or amused or entertained. But she had a record made by a couple of dark-skinned lovers, meaning black Afros.
Right.
I think it was out of Chicago, and they were called the Black Crows.
Yeah.
I think that was the title of the record, meaning that the Black Order was already starting to demand via comedy, in a way, to the black civilization, or to the white civilization, it's right to be an individual in a society. And then when World War II came along And so many served and lost their lives, and then when they came home and without a leg, weren't even allowed to have another artificial appendage, I saw it as wrong, as morally wrong. And so all of these little hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a friend that works as an artistic advisor on the Avenue of Americas today, named Walker. Well, Walker wants and does arrange an order among everything from Guatemalans to Bangladesh to you name it, any place in Africa. He made something like $2.5 million and then gave it away to the people that needed some belief in themselves. So again, it's back to the individual to write the score. I have only done what I had to do to speak to the world about my beliefs. But then again, how much of my poetry do you have to read to understand my non-political position of love is to be for all peoples? I mean, if love could be handed out, there wouldn't be hate.
Right, right. If it was that easy, if we had a magic wand. Philip Lawrence Sherrod, again, is our very special guest, and he's soon to be the subject of a new documentary. He's part of a radio series here, but his career is as an artist is spanned 62 years, not 50 as some had mentioned, but 62 years, big difference. Artist, composer, painter, poet, educator, master teacher, Philip Lawrence Sherrod is our guest. Frank McKay here, binge listen to everything that we've been doing. And
Frank,
yes,
one other thing is that I want to say, I've been eaten out of life by art itself.
That's an interesting.
I mean, I have no place but a little trail from the refrigerator to the bed, to the toilet, to the refrigerator, to the bed, to the toilet.
I've seen it, and it's an interesting way to word it, and but somehow you look comfortable in it. You look like you're in your element, and you do have. And again, I don't want to tell you secrets here, and I don't think I'm telling tales out of school, but you do have storage units with artwork in it. I mean, you have. Is it over 6,000 pieces or 9,000 pieces?
It's got to be up to 6 by now, I guess.
I
would assume. But
tell us about your latest.
Good example, Frankie, is meeting you. You are a total responsibility of me to them. Because other than that, the individual is being snuffed out daily via system, via project. They call it project. And projects, they try to show numbers, they try to show conventional political parties, and that has nothing to do with the talent that might be sitting next to you in the Democrats or in the Republicans, the blue and red states and all that. I cannot believe how, in a way, dumb the world is to not demand a greater position of self. I mean, they give them selfies, and now instead of self-portrait, it has become selfies. I mean, it's like, what should I say, trifling with the rifling. And that's too abstract, I guess.
Yeah.
For the long gun lovers.
Yeah. Wow. It's just... And talking to you, every once in a while, I'll try to predict what you're going to say, and then you kind of throw me for a loop almost every time you speak. That's creative. I mean, it's a very creative thought process you have, and every, and I think I have a better handle on it than most people might. But I really respect it, and I really appreciate when we have someone very special in our presence. And Philip, stay right where you are, but Philip Lawrence Sherrod, everyone, is our very special guest, soon to be the subject of a documentary. Either I'm getting older or more pretentious, but I really feel like we're doing something important here in preserving the thoughts of a man. And you know, we're not the first. I mean, there's a lot on him, but hopefully we're going to be the most thorough. And this is a man that...
Frankie.
Yes,
please. Have you ever seen that film on Renoir in... when they had to, he was so old, I think, about, I don't know, 73, that they had to strap his brush to his hand because he was so paralytic, and that's why he did The Big Women at the end. Wow. He was going back to woman as the procreator of himself. And then, as opposed to his early work, I think is in the Washington, D.C. collection of the Corcoran Museum, where he paints the young woman as, and I think it's titled large, and it's titled The Hunter. So what does the hunter mean? The hunter is the procurer of the trophy, which was and is man.
That's interesting.
And that's why there's envy and jealousy and petty bourgeois concerns today. It's all come out in the state of wrath, which I find to be just so narrow-sighted.
Yeah, it's competition, and sometimes it's very petty competition.
Yes.
Stay right where you are. Keep your thought. Philip Lawrence Sherrod has been our very special guest. Binge listen to everything that we've been doing here. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.